Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
I am Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
We are not, but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
We do together. And you can always visit our website, Forever 35 Podcast, for links to everything we mention on our show. You can find us on Twitter at Forever35Pod, on Instagram at Forever35Podcast, and you can join the Forever 35 Facebook group where the password is serums.
You can also shop our fave prods at shopmyshelf.us/forever35. You can sign up for the newsletter at forever35podcast.com/newsletter. But just a reminder, newsletter is going on hiatus for July while Kate and I are on vacay.
So is Instagram.
Yes.
So are we, Dori.
So are we. If you want to reach us, you can call or text us at 781-591-0390, and you can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Don't hesitate to text or call or email us while we are on vacation, because we will be looking at that later.
We will be. Yes.
Indeed. We love to hear from you, even if we're taking the week off. It's always a treat to come back to some messages.
It always is. It always is.
But the fun thing is that you and I are both traveling, which, I mean, it always presents itself as a challenge, doesn't it? Like, even,
it does.
Even if you're traveling alone and you have it down, there's always something.
Yep. There's always something. Kate, how are you doing about traveling?
Okay, well, I'm going to be doing a bit of it this summer, and I just actually made up a new travel hack literally 10 minutes before sitting down to talk to you today.
Wow.
Here's the deal. My daughter is traveling, and she's going to be away for a little bit this summer, and this is my daughter who now uses the very specific Davines hair shampoo and conditioner because she's got very thick, wavy hair. While she's away, I was like, let's make sure you have your special conditioner. But it's almost like a jar of peanut butter. Like it comes in a jar. Now, I am determined to travel on this trip without checking bags. I don't want them to get lost. I just don't want a deal. I don't want a deal with checking a bag. But this conditioner is 8 ounces of conditioner in a jar. And you know TSA is going to come at me if I come on that plane with an 8 ounce jar of conditioner. They'll find it. They always do.
They 100% will.
So I bought these, TSA approved little rubber shampoo travel bottles. And I was like, we'll move all the shampoo and conditioner into these bottles, which are the right size. It's a ridiculous song and dance. Don't even get me started, but we're just going to do it. Well, the shampoo went in okay from the bottle. The conditioner, because it's in a jar, I realized way too late. I was like, how are we going to get this like goopy, thick consistency conditioner. It's thick, Dory. I'm serious when I say it is a nut butter level consistency. How am I going to get a nut butter into this tiny jar, tiny, you know, mushy jar? Well, I dug around in my baking cabinet and I found, I don't know what these things are called because I don't bake, but they are like the little metal things you use for frosting with a pointy plastic bag. I'm sure these
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I do. It's a, I think it's a pastry bag.
Okay. A pastry bag, let's say, and then the pointy thing that you make designs with.
Okay. Well, I'm loving this so far.
I busted those out and I scooped the jar of conditioner into that pastry bag and I used that pastry bag and that little metal thing to squirt this thick-ass conditioner into this travel bottle. Mm-hmm. And I felt like a fucking genius.
Okay.
Because, you know, you're always, when you're always trying to move products from a bigger bottle to a little bottle, they spill and then you're like, your hands are covered in shampoo. Mm-hmm. So this is my new travel hack. If you have to fill a tiny bottle with like an like a challenging product, get a pastry bag and a little pointy pastry cap squirty thing.
Okay. This is kind of genius.
It was, I felt, literally, my daughter and I were like, look at us. Because we had tried spooning it in and it was like, oh, this is bad. We're not going to be able to spoon this in with the one baby spoon I have left into this tiny bottle. So
right.
I felt pretty proud of myself. That's my new travel hack. I made it up. I didn't read it anywhere. I didn't find it on BuzzFeed.com. I made it up. Maybe it's already out there in the world, but I felt pretty proud of myself.
Kate.
Yep.
You are an influencer.
I am, right? I should be on TikTok with all the other Mormon mom bloggers and just influencing like crazy with my one hack.
Yes, exactly. It's a life tip. You know, I would like to solicit some life tips from our listeners or from you.
Okay.
You know, I would say one of the kind of sneaky benefits about being a quote unquote older mom is that most of your peers have older kids and they can, first of all, they give me so many hand-me-downs.
That is a big bonus.
There's always like a sounding board for any of my questions. It's really helpful, I will say. Anyway, Kate, I will soon be traveling across the country with a three-year-old, my three-year-old.
Not a random three-year-old.
Not a random three-year-old. Now, ever since our disastrous trip last summer, we've made some modifications.
Okay. And if we can just refresh everyone's memory, this is when your plane changed course in the air and went to Buffalo and then you fell on your son's throw up?
Okay. I think it was Rochester, first of all.
Okay. Sorry.
Second of all, yeah, there was a leak in the control tower at JFK. So they had grounded all flights and and rerouted everyone. And we were in the Rochester airport for like 4 or 5 hours. And there was just like a cascade failure of like various other things that went wrong. Like the plane was too big for the airport, so they couldn't pull all the way up to the gate. So they had to stop like close to the gate, but they couldn't, like their jetway did not connect to our airplane. So we had to get on this, like or like maybe it did and they overshot. I don't know. There was something where we all had to get on this like hydraulic lift bus thing to travel 10 feet to the gate after we had been on the plane for like an extra hour or something. And Henry was like losing it, understandably.
Yeah, I would be too.
Anyway, yes. Then we like booked it to Five Guys, which was like one of the only places open in the wing of the Rochester airport where we were. And Henry is like standing on a chair and I'm like, oh, like, let's be careful that he doesn't fall. And then literally I turn my back for half a second and he crashed to the ground.
Oh God. Oh,
and I think it was just the shock of it all. And he had just eaten and he threw up all over me. Now, thankfully, I had packed a change of clothes, although I guess I did miss my chance to get like a Rochester t-shirt in the airport.
You know, that's always my dream, that you're going to be like really cold on vacation and you won't have a sweatshirt, so you'll have to buy the local tourist sweatshirt.
Totally. And then I was holding Henry, who was still pretty hysterical. Matt went to get some napkins to try to wipe up the throw up. And then I slipped and fell on Henry's puke whilst holding Henry. It was like, what the fuck else can go wrong? Like, honestly, what else can go wrong?
Oh my God. I guess I'll never forget this.
There's always more that can go wrong, as I learned. But like,
of course, but
that was pretty up there. Anyway, we, you know, obviously stuff like that is out of our control. Like, I do not have control over the weather as much as I would like to. Or, you know, pilot shortages or any of the various horrible things that I've been reading about what traveling is
I know. I'm so nervous. I know. So
I'm trying not to get ahead of myself with that anxiety, you know, because like there's nothing I can do about it right now. As of today, my flight is still going. So I don't know. We'll see. But I was wondering if people had any thoughts on traveling with a 3-year-old. We are going to be bringing a car seat onto the plane. So he will be like somewhat contained, and we are planning on downloading probably every episode of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse onto an iPad. And he will watch stuff on the plane. So like there, that is, you know, that's okay. But I'm just wondering if there's like other stuff, or if there's like particular COVID stuff that I should be mindful of, or, you know, I don't know. I just throwing it out there, would love any and all thoughts.
Well, here's what I used to do when my kids were a bit younger. I don't do it as much anymore because they are easily just fully entertained by watching an iPad. Like they'll download their own TV shows and watch them. But when they were younger, like let's say under 7 and under, in addition to the iPad, I mean, one, I would say if Henry is at all interested, I mean, you could just download them to have. Look for like toddler-friendly iPad games, because there are a bunch and that might engage him in a way that a TV show would not. And they're not like, you know, they're not like there's a lot of educational ones if you want to go that route.
Now that you mention it, I had once downloaded Khan Academy, I think. Khan Academy Kids. Out of desperation when like we didn't have childcare and it was like too hot to go outside. I don't remember exactly what the circumstances were, but yeah, we did download it and he did enjoy that. So that's a great idea. Can you use it offline? No, right?
Yes, you have to check which double check. So check everything before you go that you download. I mean, my kids had a game where it was literally like a screen would come up and it'd be all different animals and you would just like tap the animal and it would make the animal sound. And this entertained them. I vaguely remember this game. So that's one thing I do. Another thing I do is I make sure I have extra snacks. Like yes, I pack double what I think a child could eat. And I try to pack an exciting snack. Like there's always like a treat that they might not normally have, or just something in there to be like, ooh, we're on a plane and we get this thing. Then I also like to either go to like the dollar store or the like bins right when you walk into a Target where everything's like $1 to $3, or even just the regular kind of kid toy section and get some fun new toys and activities that they've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Like a new – now I know, again, every child is different, every child's a different age, but like some sort of coloring or activity book, or even like a pad of paper and big ass crayons, and they can just like, even if it entertains them for 2 minutes.
Yeah, totally.
You have it. And the dollar store and that like walk-in Target section is great for just, you know, toys that's okay if they don't make it back home.
Mm, great call.
Great you know? Call.
Yep.
Yep, and then then maybe a book if they have – or a new book. I like to put a new book in. Mm. Or if they have a book that they'll look at for like 5 hours. Mm-hmm. I think that's my list. Some Dramamine. Like obviously you handle that, but some Dramamine because my kids always get a little – my kids puke on planes.
I mean, knock on wood, Henry has never puked on a plane. He's just puked at a Five Guys in the Rochester airport.
Yeah, just plane adjacent. But
yeah, plane adjacent.
I have just like a vivid memory of my flying alone with my two kids, and they were both under like 5 years old, and my youngest was probably 2.5. And she like fell asleep right as we landed, and then literally as the plane was deboarding, I forget the word, she just barfed everywhere, and I had to like,
God.
Oh, it was just like, and I was alone, and I had two car seats. It was just, it's not easy traveling with young children. It's really hard.
No, it's not. He is potty trained now, which I'm like, is this better or worse? Like, I feel like there's high probability of an accident. But I guess that just is what it is. Many changes of clothes.
Yeah, bring many little undies.
Okay, I'll bring many little undies.
In terms of COVID stuff, you know, I think it's just the usual. Wear a good mask, keep it on as much as you can, wipe everything down,
yeah.
Wash your hands. Someone told me you should blast the air
on
your face. Yeah. But also, like, if you don't blast the air on your face, it's okay. You know, you can do everything possible and you could still get COVID, or you could do nothing and not get COVID. It's like, who the F knows at this point?
I know. Exactly. So, all right. Well, Kate, that was super helpful. See, this is what
really?
I'm talking
I'm
about.
So
yes.
Glad.
Do you have any other hot parenting tips that I should know just while we're talking?
I mean, I never got these, but I did have friends who got their kids suitcases that were also scooters, and they would like scoot through the airport. Have you ever seen those?
No. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Scooter suitcases. Yeah. So that's how they would get their kid around. I think I was never willing to pay the amount that the scooter suitcase cost, but a tiny suit, like anything that a kid could possibly carry. Let me make sure I'm not making this up. Yeah, scooter suitcase for kids. Yep. It's literally a suitcase that folds out into a scooter.
Wow. They have thought of everything.
I mean, yeah, if you're willing to spend the money, you can really.
Well, actually, yeah, that does raise another question that I would like to throw out to you and the listeners who might have experience with this. I was considering, not the scooter suitcase, although I am intrigued, I was considering getting Henry a rolling backpack and having him be
cute.
In charge of his own backpack. And I'm wondering if that is a good idea or if I'm just going to end up carrying it.
I think it really depends on your child.
Yeah.
And there's no way to know because
who knows
what kind of meltdown your kid's going to
be having. Well, and also who knows what kind of mood he's going to be in at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, God. Know? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's a big Henry do it person. Like he does Henry like to do everything it. Himself. And I think he would like giving him that task of like being in charge of his own suitcase, I think would be like very exciting for him. But I do worry about his like overall mood.
Yeah.
So
his patience, Henry not going to do it right now. Like, come on. It's
yeah.
6 a.m.
Henry don't want to. Yeah, exactly. So I think if I do that, I just have to like be prepared for the inevitable. Mama carry
right, that
it.
You might be. Yeah. You might be rolling a yes. tiny suitcase around.
Yes, exactly. All right.
Well, listen, good luck because it seems very scary out there right now with all these endless flight cancellations and like all this stuff. It just feels
bags getting lost. Did you see those pictures of Heathrow?
No.
Oh my God. There was like this huge breakdown in their baggage handling. And like there are these pictures on social media of just like a whole baggage claim area just filled with suitcases like that were separated from their owners because everything, like all the systems just like broke down.
This is why I'm dragging that carry-on on.
I know. I don't think we can do all carry-ons given our, you know, small child.
No, I know. This is when, and I love checking a bag. Checking a bag feels luxurious and it makes everything so much easier. I am not opposed to a bag check.
I know.
Ever. But God, is it kind of challenging? All of it is so challenging right now.
Yeah.
And of course, good luck, Dory.
Thank you. I mean, it goes without saying that like, I'm just glad I'm able to travel right now.
Indeed.
And I'm grateful that I am able to go and see family. That said, the logistics are like a little stressful.
Yeah. 100%. I see you. I totally see you.
So, well, thank you for seeing me, Kate. I appreciate you. I appreciate our listeners.
Well, Dory, should we introduce today's guest to everyone out there listening?
We definitely should.
This is a fun one, everybody. It's Cameron Esposito. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, baby.
That's right. Cameron Esposito is a Los Angeles-based stand-up comic, actor, and writer. Cameron has appeared on No Big Deal, NBC, CBS, Comedy Central, TBS, IFCE, Cartoon Network, and HBO Canada, and indie films, been Sundance, South by Southwest film festivals, in big-budget features for nationwide release, and at comedy and music festivals worldwide. Cameron's podcast, Queery, features interviews with LGBTQ+ luminaries, including the likes of Roxane Gay, Trixie Mattel, Evan Rachel Wood, Lena Waithe, and Tegan and Sarah Quinn. Cameron is also the co-creator and co-star of Take My Wife, which, you know, got rave reviews, and her most recent special, Rape Jokes, raised almost $100,000 for Rain. Her first book, Save Yourself, is out. You can get it anywhere you get books. And look, this was a dream come true.
So
a
great.
Comedy icon? Yes, please.
Yes. All right. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back with Cameron.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe.
I love it. They will pair you with a board certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable.
With no.
With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift. All while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there. Especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. Well, Cameron, we are so excited to have you on Forever 35. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Before we get into it, I have to ask you, as a comic, I mean, you obviously talk about the many challenges of life and a community and society, but like, is the pressure to have to find the humor in all of it, is it ever, like, do you ever reach a point where you're just like, I fucking can't, there's nothing funny about this? Or do you always have a way in?
It's a good question. I mean, I've definitely been processing something and just had it not be funny yet, which is like a true bummer. I just mean in terms of like, you know, I think something is very funny and then an audience disagrees, obviously they're wrong. But this a different time that this is actually this that's like part of it, right? Sometimes things work, sometimes things don't. I think to do this job, you kind of have to be somebody who likes it when things don't work, like who likes it when things are hard. Because if I was satisfied ever with success, then I would just stop doing it. You'd stop when you had a good set. But the thing is like when you have a good set, then you're like, I can't wait to do that again. And then when you have a bad set, you're like, I can't wait to do that again. I mean, it's like an addictive process. But actually the biggest betrayal I've ever felt from stand-up is that when I was like going through a divorce and I was super duper sad, I was funny. And that actually felt worse because I was like, don't you laugh at me? You know, like it just felt like, I think I felt frustrated with myself sort of overusing this coping mechanism when it might have been healthier to do other things. So then I made some behavioral changes after I realized that.
Oh, that's really interesting that like you almost were using stand-up as a crutch to process your divorce.
I think all comics,
yeah,
have an overdeveloped sense of humor from using it as a way of processing the world. And so right. I think sometimes when things are hard, that can be really amazing. You can be like, oh my God, thank God I have this thing. But that's the first time I've ever been like, no, like, let me hold on to the pain. Cause I just felt so bad. Yeah. I wanted to feel bad, you know, like I actually wanted to have the opportunity to have to experience negative feelings as opposed to joking around.
One other thing you just said really kind of pinged for me, which is like how stand-ups and you in particular kind of navigate rejection, because like you said, like sometimes you have these jokes that to you are really funny and then the audience, it just like is like doesn't land for whatever reason, but you just have to kind of keep going. And like as someone who, like to me, that is like this, that feels very scary, right? Like kind of being up there and being judged constantly, and you know, how do you kind of go on? And so I'm wondering if you could speak to that a little bit, like how you sort of have trained yourself to deal with all this rejection, assuming that you have. I'm not saying that like
totally.
You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. I was smiling out of recognition, not out of feeling any judgment. No. You know, every character asset is also a defect, right? Like having a really good sense of humor, like I was just saying, it's like, okay, awesome. I survived all those things. And then the other side of it is like a discomfort with negative feelings and like wallowing, for instance, is like not something that comes easy. But I think that there's a place and time for wallowing. So anyway, some of what you're talking about dealing with rejection is like a version of codependency and looking to the other that I've been trying to heal in myself. So the negative side of that is like not feeling like I'm good enough to just make my own decisions sometimes. Sometimes I don't know if I like things. I'm like the kind of person that's like, what do you want for dinner?
Oh, yes.
The other side of that is so I kind of think I always need to improve and something's like wrong with me. That's the negative. But the positive side of that is it's very easy for me to take rejection and turn it into fuel. Because if you're somebody who thinks, since I'm somebody who thinks that something's like wrong with me, then rejection is actually like kind of the best gift you can give me. Then I'll get better. Like I will improve at this skill or something. But I have to make sure that I don't go too far into trying to change myself to make other people happy, or trying to get all of my needs met emotionally and spiritually from like the feeling of acceptance that comes with a successful set or somebody wanting to sleep with me, or you know, like any external validation,
right? Because those highs can also be addictive.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Right. So again, like unchecked, then life is only about what other people can give you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm a very serious person. Every answer is so serious.
Well, I feel like we just like jumped right in with these.
I know. That's me. I don't fuck around. I really do not.
I appreciate it so much though, because I think like this has also been such a weird time of reflection on our relationships with people, when like people were kind of taken away from us in many ways in the pandemic, both literally and figuratively. Like just this, like, how do I rely on outsiders feeding me and feeding my ego and my self-purpose and all that? I mean, I think a lot of us have had time to reflect on that, and it has felt terrifying.
I mean, I would also say that, you know, social media is like baking that into everybody's life, regardless of what anybody's job is, in a different way. I mean, certainly like maybe you get that from your boss or from your partner, but I just think it's like so baked into life in 2022. Like, did something even happen if people aren't applauding you for it? I think that thing is the root of stand-up. So it's, yeah, anyway.
Well, you know, we normally kick off our interviews by asking every guest about a self-care practice that they have in their lives. And we would love to hear yours regardless, but now I'm even more excited because it sounds like you've been doing a lot of reflecting and taking care of yourself. So I would love to hear if you have a self-care practice that resonates with you.
Yes, totally. So I have been really, over the last couple of years, working on my body and trying to be more diligent about like strength. I've been on the road for so long. I started to have all this chronic pain and I was going to the chiropractor and I was doing a zillion things, but I wasn't like, my main forms of exercise were hiking and walking, and like those things kind of don't like build any strength. So anyway, I didn't do this today and I'm honestly losing it, but I usually start my day with meditation and push-ups, sit-ups, and like little butt raises. I do 200 of each of those. I do 15 minutes of yoga, and I often try to run a mile. That's the way I start the day. So it's a moving meditation.
200 sit-ups, push-ups, and butt raises. 200 push-ups.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. And then I might do something else physical in the day, like go for a run. I have a running partner, or I do like ballet classes. I swim. And I'm saying all this physical stuff because it's like a moving meditation for me. And I never would take any like group fitness classes. It was like my biggest fear. I didn't want people to see me working out. I like never would have had a running partner. I like run 5Ks in like yoga pants, just like any suburban white woman, which is not a space where I previously felt any welcomeness. Like I was taking myself out of that group. Like I was like, I can't be around other people. I felt like I was like the wrong gender for fitness. But anyway, this is something I've been moving into and it's massively improving my self-image, my pain, and also my happiness.
How did you like move forward in like making yourself get into that space? Like when did you start getting comfortable, not just like with, first of all, what a great daily practice, meditation into calisthenics, into
calisthenics,
right? That's the best word. And then like how did you kind of, is it something that came with age? Was it something that came with your own self-acceptance, or were you just like, fuck it, I'm here?
You know, I mean, not to like go back to this multiple times, but I've had two times in my life where like everything totally stopped. And the first time was when I came out. I like lost all of my, I lost my faith. I lost my, all of my friends and my family for a period of time, although that changed. And the second time is when I got divorced, because both times it was like, it was a complete reset. Like all of the friends that I had, the place that I lived, the things I thought would happen in my future, like all of those things changed. And so the first time when I came out is like when I started doing comedy, actually. I started doing comedy around that same time. And then, you know, launched into that part of my life. And then when I had this divorce, it was like pretty sudden and pretty wild experience. And it like just shook me out of all of my habits. So like I had been using this coping skill from my childhood, took it to like the end of it, like made stand-up profession, moved to LA, like all that stuff. Then after my marriage ended, this is what was like the catalyst for new openness. Cause I just was like willing to try anything. I felt so bad and I had to like totally rebuild. So again, it's like, I don't know if I'm somebody who I ever thought would like have the confidence to pursue comedy as a job, but it's just like, I was in the lowest of the low. And so I was just like, help, anything. And then that's when I found comedy. And similarly, I mean, it was like, I was so depressed. And this woman who I knew from Chicago, from comedy, but hadn't been close with ever, ran past me on the street and I stopped her. And I was like, Emily, could I run with you sometime? And she was like, I don't like to run with people. And I was like, great. I don't want to talk to anybody. She was like, I want to wear my AirPods. I was like, perfect. Me too. And she was, and I was also like, and I'm also, I'm in not in good shape. And she was like, okay. So we started running together. First, we would run like a block. This was years ago. Now we run once a week together and we run 5Ks together and we're really close friends. And usually when we walk to warm up, we take our headphones out and actually talk to each other. But it all just came from like that level of willingness, like the level of willingness to be like, help, just yeah, stopping somebody yeah. on the street, you know? Because I like routine, you know, and if I can find something that makes me feel comfy, I'll stay there, you know? So this is something that I can have a lot of gratitude for in those two major life stops, is that like they massively accelerated my like growth and ability to try things.
Well, and it's something like I've been thinking a lot about community in the wake of the nightmare that is this country.
in the wake of this country, because yeah, this country's over.
This country. Yeah. No, I mean, and the pandemic and just everything. And, yeah. you know, I think one of the things that I'm trying to do in my life is like have more of those IRL interactions with people and build that kind of community. So that's kind of what I hear when you talk about having this running routine and this running partner who like you didn't really know, but you've like built this little kind of micro community with her.
Yeah, actually I have pretty amazing community right now, which is again shocking to me because it was like baby steps. I started trying to develop closer friendships a few years ago after a lot of years just spent focused like so hard on work. I realized that I only had coworkers. Like I didn't really have friends. I thought because my job is a silly goof around job, I thought that those were my friends, but they're not my friends. They're just like, no shade intended. They're not my friends. They're my coworkers. And so I was just spending all of my time in like green rooms with people fucking around and doing bits. And it just was like very lonely because that's actually nothing. Like it's fine for work, but it's not like, it wasn't like feeding my self-esteem and my soul and like getting me anywhere. And so, in terms of growth. So anyway, I started working on friendships and, you know, like asking people for coffee and walks, lots of walks. And then it like, you know, led to a place where at the very beginning of the pandemic, one of these friends that I'd been like pursuing as a friend, started this like Zoom. We have lunch, this group of women. I have lunch on Tuesdays and Fridays, every Tuesday and Friday on Zoom. I've been doing it for 3 years. So yeah, it's like, anyway, that's what I feel like has been a big lesson in my life is it's like, make a few teeny changes. And then like 3 years later, you're like, this is these are my people I have lunch with twice a week. Like I just never, I never thought that would even be something that could be in my life. Not usually a joiner.
Like, well, the small, I feel like sometimes when we get in our head, like, holy shit, my life is not, like, this is not going the way I want it to, or I'm not fulfilled here. And, or at least this is what I do. And then it's like drastic changes must be made rather than like you're saying, you made a small shift. You said yes to something. And now here you are years later and it's become a really valuable routine for you. And that's necessary for many of us to hear.
Yeah, I also need to hear it. even though I'm saying it, I'm like, shh, listen, Cameron.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters, and then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Oh. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, we are back.
Karen, how has it been kind of getting back into the world of live stand-up?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I want to hear about this.
It's been good. You know, first it was harrowing. I don't know what I was doing. I went on a mini tour last fall, and that was idiocy. Like it just, I just felt like everybody was like, it was like a theater. If you're performing in a theater, which I sometimes perform at, the stage is typically a little bit higher. You could be a little further away from people. And so I was performing. I was performing from home for like years, and then I was performing at a theater in LA, and I think I've like forgot what stand-up clubs are like. And then I was suddenly in clubs. The stage is low and the audience is usually like right at you. That's like how laughs best build. And I just felt like I was screaming into everybody's mouths and they were laughing into mine. And I was like, this is not, the CDC did not say to do this,
oh my, you know? God. And
it felt like dangerous and insane. Like it just felt like,
right.
Yeah. Look, I know I'm really good at my job, but like, this is not worth it for any of us. And so I decided to take another break, and I'm going back out soon, but I've been performing mostly in LA. And I think that maybe it's like, I don't know. I feel like, so I had COVID. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's like actually having it and recovering. Maybe it's like I'm also extremely vaccinated. I try to pick places where it's not like that such face-to-face interaction, because I don't think that's like the best. for even an audience. But maybe it's just like a willingness to take what feels like a necessary risk, given that this is my job, you know?
Do you think audiences have changed?
For a minute, people felt so jazzed all the time. I think people still do feel jazzed. And that's very cool. But I also think that, I don't know, as humans, we can get like jaded pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like I don't so feel like the audiences are like, we can't believe we're here anymore. I feel like we're right. A little bit past that.
I went back and watched one of your jokes that I have loved, which is your Chunks jokes about periods. And I was surprised that I was like, oh, I love this joke. I'm going to go watch it. And it was from you. It was posted on YouTube in 2015. And I was like, but this is still relevant. Yeah. This joke still
hits. It's like grainy. Yeah. Because it's like not even a modern camera. It's like thinking about. Yeah.
It was on a digital camera.
Yeah.
But I loved revisiting it because it felt like Jesus Christ, like this holds up more than many things from 7 years ago. Like this is still applicable and necessary watching and still very funny. I wanted to know what it feels like for you to go back and revisit old stuff. Old work, especially in the ways in which things have changed societally since 2015. You know, just in the wake of Roe and how it still feels like many people don't understand reproductive justice or even the reproductive system. Listening to you talk, explaining what actually happens when people menstruate was very empowering. And it still is.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that joke. And actually, one of the best things that I ever got to do was, so it's a joke that's like viscerally describing what a period is like, in that it's like not clean blue liquid that goes onto maxi pad on the television, but like that chunks of your body come out. And I got to do that joke for, it was on Comedy Central. I got to record it for Comedy Central. And at the taping, they were like, do you need anything special for your set? And I was like, can you get 200 strawberry jelly donuts? Because that's how many people were going to be in the audience. And so during the taping, like as I was about to do this joke, I paused. I pretended like we were not filming for a second. And I was like, are there any snacks? People look hungry. Anyway, pass out 200 jelly donuts. People were eating strawberry jelly donuts. And then I started doing this set about periods being like very goopy and visceral strawberry and anyway, so that was one of my most fun things I've ever gotten to do. But I don't know. I think your question about, I feel like, yes, I'm happy to find out that I've actually said things in the past that I still agree with. And I think it is frustrating to look back at my own material that's like about unfettered access to guns, or that's about whether or not Planned Parenthood is a good and useful organization, and just to find out that those things are still really relevant. But I think another thing I just forget is that I've been doing this for a while sometimes.
Yeah.
I forget that. Like I've had a bunch of younger comics recently tell me that they like listened to me. Like Meg Stalter, I did her show at Largo here in LA, and she was like, oh, I used to listen to your podcast. And it's like, why? One of the reasons I thought I could do this. And I had my friend Addie Weirich told me that just last night. And I was like, oh no, I've been wrong long enough that I inspired people who are like, not just breaking out. Meg's doing great. She's ascendant.
Yeah.
She broke. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been around for a minute, I guess.
Hitting that sweet spot of middle age. You're what, like 39, 40?
I'm 40.
40. Yeah. Yeah. It's weird when you realize like, oh, I'm looking down on the people coming up. Like it's weird. It's a weird fucking place to be.
I mean, well, something I was thinking about is like, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I think you are like, you're one of the only comics kind of our generation, because we're all in our 40s, who you were out from the beginning. And you know, it's so like now it's like, that's not even, no one, not that no one cares, but it's just like, no one thinks twice about saying like, oh, I'm queer. And, but at the time, you know, almost 20 years ago, that was kind of pretty revolutionary. And I was wondering if you could kind of speak to how you feel like things have changed for people who are queer in stand-up, and what it was like for you in those early days as a definitely. Queer person doing stand-up.
Right. So there are generations, you're right, you know, like there are generations older than me who folks got famous and then came out. So like right. Rosie or Ellen or Wanda Sykes. Then there were some folks who were out, but they didn't hit to that level. At that, like, well, I mean, somebody like Margaret Cho wasn't like, she was out, but her sexuality wasn't like the first thing that she was talking about, when she was first starting. But like Lea Delaria has been out forever and was like getting arrested on the street for holding somebody's hand, at a time when like sodomy laws would have been in place, mm-hmm. but didn't really reach a level of like, you know, outside of the comedy world recognition right. until she was yeah. on Orange is the New Black, which is like however that many, like 40 years into her career or something like that, right. like a long time. So that existed. And then there's this, like you're saying, there's this generation of folks that younger than me that like, it is so wild. For me, there wasn't really anybody that I knew of who was older than me that started out. Like I didn't know anybody. Yeah. Cause I wasn't really aware of Lea. And I was a fan of Tig's, but Tig didn't really talk about sexuality because Tig's stuff was like more, I don't know, like nonsensical. And, yeah. So, I mean, it was like that thing of, it was a Wild West. I mean, people wanted yeah. me to stop talking about being gay. I got that feedback all the time. Very strange feedback to receive since all the straight people are talking about being straight. It's just like right. dating, love, sex. Those are some of the biggest topics in stand-up. So I only know how to write from a queer perspective because it's the only right. life experience I've had. But yeah, I mean, it was rough. Like other comics did not want me to do stand up. Yeah, I mean, there were also no women and there were certainly no like out non-binary folks. So it was like straight dudes were really who I came up around, only straight dudes right. and most of them white. So yeah, what it was like was, I think I have like a level of anger and damage around going through that like, yeah. I don't, you know, I'm just going to have to work through it on my own because it's not going to be solved by anybody else. But I think for a long time, I didn't even realize that I was angry. Because there was also outside of stand-up, it wasn't different. So that's how I was treated everywhere. Right. And people were scared of me or angry at me. It was life was really hard and it still is sometimes. But I think different now, and that isn't that long ago, you know, but people who are 35 or 30, their orientation to this is so different than mine, than ours.
Yeah. And it's not that much time. That's what really blows my mind. There wasn't much time that has lapsed. But it can be so different. Not always, but it can be.
Well, I think maybe just the best way to frame it is that it is the quickest moving, it's the quickest civil rights movement in
yes.
US history. So it doesn't even matter if it's like, are people on a one-to-one basis always treating everybody sweetly? Is Texas making like no fucked up laws. Like, no, sometimes people are still a dick to you and Texas is still making fucked up laws. But there's been no civil rights movement that went at this speed. So like, we don't even have a framework for understanding. And by the way, that also sucks, right? Like, rights should happen this quickly, but we don't really have a framework for understanding like what that does to people when things change that quickly. Because I think it's like a lot to adjust to. Being like an illegal person and then not being an illegal person.
Yeah, I was reading an interview that you did where you pointed out that you graduated college in 2004, which was when Massachusetts legalized same-sex marriage, and that someone who had graduated like the year before or even the year after like had a totally different experience of that than you did.
So wild, right? Yeah. I the first week of my graduation, Massachusetts legalized same-sex marriage, and I got my first job working professionally in comedy. And so I like entered adulthood and I entered my professional life as somebody with that right, which like you're saying, which would have been totally different if it had just been 1 year prior. And that's wild.
Yes. that's totally wild. That's real.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like getting chills. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And I still didn't have that right when I went, then I moved back to Chicago and I like was, and then I didn't have that right in Chicago.
Right.
Wild.
Yeah, states' rights is a real whole fucked up thing about this country.
And now really I've been married twice. I'm trying to have as many marriages as possible to like really make sure that I get.
Just keep adding them up. Yeah. Well, in a complete change of gears, we want to ask you about your skincare routine because that is at the heart of all the chit-chatting we do on this podcast. And
I'm aware.
We like to ask everybody,
right?
Do you have a skincare practice? Do you enjoy it? Are there products that you like or do you not give a shit?
Oh my God. I got to say, please don't tell me that it looks like I don't give a shit. You know, I know that's not what you're saying, but I just mean.
No, it doesn't. You look amazing, but I'm also trying. We're striving to not like ever comment on anybody's appearance, whether positive, negative, or neutral. Right. But boy, do we want
That's actually
to.
A really good idea. Good point.
Well, but it's hard,
because
right?
the effect.
It's really hard.
It's so
that's
hard.
Such a good point. I didn't even think of that. Thank you for telling me that. That's really.
Well, it's
that's
a conversation.
So enlightened.
We've been having this here because and our podcast with our listeners, because like sometimes you just want to say to somebody like, you look great, but like we don't want to do that. It's very confusing.
It's very
right. That's so helpful. Right. Good point.
We're trying to move into like, you look happy.
Yeah. Well, and also people just might have skin that like they do have a really elaborate skincare routine or like one that they really put effort does not equal results.
Totally.
Always in the world that we live in, because sometimes we're just dealing with different stuff. No, but for me, yes, I care about this. The number one thing I would say that I do is go to the dermatologist. Cannot recommend going to the dermatologist enough. I think that is your baseline. That is my baseline. So I go to the dermatologist. And I use a couple different like acne products. Not currently a retinoid because I was scooping my eggs recently. I was having my eggs scooped out. And I didn't want to take a retinoid because it can fuck with your bod.
Yeah.
But I, have like a prescription acne creams. And then I also use like things like Kiehl's dark spot reducer. Mm. Because I like to have an even skin tone. Some of this is because I don't usually wear a lot of makeup. And I think that we're so used to seeing people who wear makeup that if you don't wear a lot of makeup, the normal variations in skin tone can look fucked up because we're like so trained to, and so much of my life is being on stage or being in front of people that I just want to look my best and feel my most comfortable without having to do something that like I'll wear like a tinted moisturizer or maybe I'll wear like a light foundation, but like I don't really wear makeup on stage. And yeah, so I do a lot of skincare. That is really, oh, sunscreen also.
Yes.
Because we live in Los Angeles.
Yes. You know, it's funny. I feel like we don't have many people bring up that they go to the dermatologist regularly. But you're right. It's
Are you serious?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's so important.
It's so important. I agree. I love my dermatologist. Is that weird?
yeah.
Cameron, it's been such a pleasure to get to talk to you. This was really
a dream.
Amazing. Thank you.
Where
can our listeners find you? What would you like to promote?
Where can you find me at the dermatologist? On your podcast?
No. I have a podcast that's called Query, but you know, right now what I'm doing the most that I'm like pretty jazzed about is, you should come see me if I'm in your town, but how would you know if I'm in your town? I'm like obsessed with Instagram right now. I've been doing reels lately and I think they're extremely fun. And so you should follow me on Instagram and you should watch my reels because I'm enjoying them.
And what is your Instagram, Cameron?
Oh, it's just Cameron Esposito.
Great.
You're going to find it.
I'll follow you. Thank you again.
Wait, oh, Dory, sorry, I have one final question.
Okay.
As two people who grew up in the Metro West Boston area, you're a person who went to college in Boston. Well, in Newton, but in Boston. Do you have a favorite place thing about Boston? Doesn't have to exist anymore. Could just be from when you were there in the early aughts. But just to satisfy my Boston itch, do you have a Boston thing that you still love?
Yes. Honest Taqueria.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So good. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Also.
Yep.
Pino's Pizza? Did you eat Pino's?
Oh yeah, totally.
Okay,
totally.
Cool. Yeah, me too. I'm from Brookline, so you know Pino's.
Oh my god, yeah, definitely. Yeah, but Honest Taqueria with like weirdly steamed burrito. Like I don't know why that's anything, but they were so good. And it was also like the first time I had ever had cilantro. And
I love it.
Anyway,
yeah,
changed my life.
Thank you for indulging me.
Of course,
I love a Boston reference, even though it's been many years.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm on a TV show right now that takes place in Boston, and weirdly, I'm the only person on the show who ever lived in Boston. So constantly, I'm trying to work in Boston references. But no, it's not working the same way that it worked with you two just now.
You know what? We're always here for a good Boston reference.
Awesome.
Thank you, Cameron.
Yeah. Cheers.
Dory.
Kate.
You know, it's funny. We started this episode talking about all this travel stuff, and we both had the intention last week of not trying to get overwhelmed with all the like pre-vacation work and logistics.
You know, one thing that we have not mentioned is that I think you and I both have a similar approach to these 2 weeks where we are cramming a lot of stuff in. Like, that every time I start feeling kind of overwhelmed about all the recording that we're doing packed into a very few days is I just keep telling myself, July off, July off, July off.
Well, you said that to me and I was like, oh yes, I'm going to adopt this mantra because the last 2 weeks of June are incredibly busy, stressful for me. And there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And do you That's know what exactly I did actually, it. Dory? Someone asked me like about scheduling something in July and I went over into my calendar in July and it was like so blissfully empty. I was like,
yeah, I deleted all the recordings.
Yes. We're going to make this happen.
Yeah.
We are our own bosses and we are going to give ourselves this month.
Yes, I know. I'm really excited. So, yeah, here we go.
Do you have an intention for this coming week?
I mean, what I was also going to say is that I think in some ways my intention last week was a little premature.
Like it's ongoing.
It's ongoing. Yeah. So I think I need to like extend this intention by another week, because now I think last week I was really focused on like work pre-vacation madness. And now I'm kind of like, oh, logistics.
Mm-hmm. You have to get all this stuff done kind of at the same time.
Yes. And there's just, yeah. there's a lot of moving parts, and guess who's in charge of them?
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that it's you.
Yep. Good old mom. Mom's in charge of them.
Oh, what a surprise.
What a shocker. What about you, Kate?
So I have an interesting intention this week. This actually comes from a listener where I've been talking about how I felt really kind of down lately. And a listener reached out and was like, are you still taking melatonin? Because that has contributed to me feeling really kind of depressed.
Whoa.
And I was like, I am still taking melatonin. And I'm also I take these like magnesium sleeping things at night that give me extremely upsetting dreams. And I also noticed I've been waking up and I'm still feeling tired. So I'm thinking I need to take a little break from my sleep supplements.
Did you see those articles like last week about how children are taking way too much melatonin?
I think I just saw the headlines. I imagine somehow I've avoided giving my kids melatonin, but I feel like I am taking too much of it.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
Well, yeah. So that is my intention, is to just really try to go to sleep without some sort of sleep aid this week, and just just see how it happens, see how it goes.
Do you have kind of a plan, any way that you're going to tweak your routine?
And no, I'm just going to try to do the things that I know are good for me, which is like get off my screen, read my book, just close my eyes. If I need to, I could listen to like a little meditation, those sorts of things.
Okay, that sounds good. I've been doing this really fun thing the last couple nights where I wake up at like 3:30 or 4.
Ooh.
And I can't fall back asleep until like 6.
Oh, and that's the worst.
And then I get like one more hour of sleep.
And then you feel like almost sick all day.
Yeah. And I just don't feel great all day.
Is it anxiety? Is your body, is something going on that you think is waking you up?
I mean, this is not like this happens occasionally. This is not like that unusual. I think it's probably partly anxiety. I think I'm also like not the deepest sleeper. So if something wakes me up, then I'm just up.
Oh, same. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So that's just, that's kind of been a bummer.
I'm sorry. That's the worst. I that happens to me too, where I'm like up. I was up the other night from 3 to 4, and then I slept from like 4 to 6. And it was like, this is not, just not going to feel good today.
Yeah, totally. Like, I don't feel horrible. I think I would feel horrible if I hadn't fallen back asleep at all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? And that was why at like 6, I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. And I need to just try to go to sleep. And then I did go to sleep. All right. Well, Kate, I wish you luck in this detoxing journey.
Thank you. And I wish you luck in this. No, it's okay. No, I think it hasn't been co-opted. You can call this a detoxing journey. We detox from our phones.
I think in this case, it is apt. You are trying to like wean yourself off something. Anyway.
Indeed.
I won't parse that anymore. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, listeners.
And of course, Story Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer. It's produced and edited by Sam Junio. Sammy Reed is our project manager, and our network partner is Acast. Thanks for listening.